Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
Well, here we are again, everyone. This is Luther Cannon at the Luther Cannon Institute of Reformational Theology. So do we have liftoff? I mean, really, we're launching out into new territory here. Unexplored regions of possibilities, revelation and understanding in Christ, where it seems very few have gone before. But we're going there. Oh, yes, we are. So, are you ready for what's coming? Are you prepared? Is your lamp burning bright? No, it can't be flickering at this point. We need to trim our lamps and have them burning real bright, and we're going to do just that. Oh, yes, we are. Your host is going to do his utmost to see that happen. We're going to be shining light everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, piercing the darkness that is growing all around us, exposing the evil, giving people the opportunity to see what's really going on. They just need a little help, and we're going to give it to them here. We need to clear the pathway again. The high places need to be brought down, the low places brought up, the crooked places made straight. The way of the Lord needs to be prepared again, because guess what? Jesus is coming back real, real soon. Can we see it? Do we feel the urgency of the hour? The King is coming. Oh, yes, the King is coming. Go ahead, Connor. Play that song.
Happy faces lie in the hallways. Those whose lives have been renewed. Broken homes.
Listen carefully, everyone.
That he has mended. Those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. And I can hear
yeah.
The chariots rumble.
Can you hear it out there?
I can see the marching throng, the glory of God's trumpets.
That's right.
Spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grand, it stands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing amazing grace.
You're the one, Lord.
Oh, the King is coming. The King.
Oh, yeah. Out there, everyone.
The King is coming. I just heard.
There's an end to this mess.
And now
every place
I see, oh, the King is coming. The King,
oh, yes,
is coming.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the last broadcast, The Return of Christ, The Dynamics, and this is going to be part two. But first, ladies and gentlemen, I need to say this. Because of all the confusion out there today regarding the return of Jesus Christ, you find yourself speaking into a mess, quite frankly, to take any kind of position on this matter. But it's pretty hard. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to embrace the authority of Scripture on this subject, or any subject, without taking a position. Jesus is simply not coming back in a way that's going to make everybody happy. So today, because of the confusion which reigns everywhere on this, when someone like your esteemed host, takes a position of a pre-tribulational return of Christ for the church, the listener base goes down a bit. And that's just the way it goes. But to fully understand what I am saying in this broadcast and the preceding one on this subject, it is predicated on the understanding that Christ will return for his church prior to the tribulation. Now, if you don't understand what I just said, don't worry about it. You'll be just fine. But if you do, all I'm asking for is some openness to perhaps set down a stake in all the confusion out here. Okay, with that said, the return of Christ is absolutely not going to be a slam dunk for the church. Let's move our minds a few miles, or perhaps 1,000 miles, from all the religious clutter and clatter that has piled up all throughout so much of what has become the Christian church today, shuttered with walls everywhere, personal agendas, money for this, money for that. Hey, whatever happened to servanthood anyway? Just serving the body of Christ with no personal agenda. Whatever happened to that? Just giving oneself selflessly to advance the kingdom of God. Do God's ministers even know how to do that anymore? I'm serious. Do we know how to do that anymore? Self, self, self everywhere. How do we expect to find the Lord's anointing in Revelation if it's all for some kind of personal gain? I'm going to repeat that one. How do we expect to find the Lord's anointing in Revelation if it's all for some kind of personal gain? What's that, John?
It seems pretty mercenary.
Absolutely. It's totally mercenary. It's the whole you can't serve God and mammon thing again, sabotaging a true understanding of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a contrarian, if you haven't noticed that already out there. Every now and then in the history of the church, environments come up where contrarianism becomes necessary just to prepare the way for major change, because major change is on the horizon. Status quo is just not it anymore. It's time to get out of the box, way out of the box. The prophets were contrarians. John the Baptist was a contrarian. Jesus was the contrarian of all contrarians, and the apostles, gap fillers, you know, those who stand in the gaps. I know it's really hard for people to even begin to think that the dominant Christian paradigm throughout the church today of Protestantism and Catholicism could possibly be called into question. I've covered this in other broadcasts, but Protestantism and Catholicism have become the problem, not the solution. They have become so bogged down with self-promoting, self-serving agendas, they have become the problem. You'll have to listen to other broadcasts to get that background on that. But these two religious systems that have dominated Christianity, really, for approximately the last 2,000 years, are about to be put under the bus. Fire of God is coming to purge these two systems of all the wrong that has become such a dominant part. Can you handle that? As Jesus' coming nears, the kingdom of God, which is what the new covenant is all about, is going to become the dominant paradigm of the Christian church again, and not these other two systems. Those who resist the changes, because they are so wedded to Protestantism and Catholicism, and let's add a few more while we're at it, okay? Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, etc., to the degree that these systems of man resist the coming of the kingdom of God and all that it stands for, they will be resisting Christ. Please hear me on that. They will be resisting, oh yes, they'll be resisting Christ. The New Testament rejection of the Messiah will happen all over again, as I made a major point of that in the last broadcast, podcast number 7. We are a transitional generation, my friends. Transitional generations come very rarely in the history of God's people. Moses ushered in a transitional generation of the law about 1,400 years later. John the Baptist ushered in a transitional generation of grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Then about 1,400 to 1,500 years after that, Martin Luther ushered in a transitional generation from the Dark Ages back to Scripture. And now about 500 years beyond that, we are on the verge of one of the greatest transitions in the history of the church next to Christ's first coming, the ushering in of his second coming, the transition from the law through Moses to grace and truth through Jesus Christ, changed about 1,400 years of history. People don't receive that kind of change easily. You're calling people to let go of centuries of belief and practice and embrace a completely new paradigm. Well, in our day, we are moving back to kingdom thinking and teaching, the elimination of walls, personal private theologies and practices that define our denominations, our walls, pulpits, and organizations. We are talking major changes, astronomical proportions, will be involved in Christ's return as he makes his church one and prepares them to truly be his bride. People just don't seem to get this. Christ's return, as I said earlier, is not a slam dunk for the church or anyone. I'm just amazed that we think his return is so simple. Do we really think with all our divisions and whatnot, we're just going to slide right into eternity with him? Come on, people. Let's get serious. We're not even close to being where we need to be for his return. Anyway, last time I mentioned, many will not accept the purging preceding the return of Christ. It just hasn't been the Jesus they serve, the one they think they're serving. At least in the West, it isn't the Jesus they believe in, so they will reject it, and in the process, they will reject the one behind it, Jesus. What I'm talking about is very, very serious. And it is at the very center of why so many will reject him as he reveals himself during the time of his return. Heads up, people. Heads up. Okay, this time I want to look at another issue that will cause people to reject him. And really, I hope people understand this isn't common pulpit stuff in this hour. You're going to have to look far and wide just to find it, if you find it at all. But listen, you're the judge of this. Okay, I'll be right back after this. Hello out there. Have you wondered about a good Bible translation? You know, I hope so. So many people today don't give it much thought, or if they do, they often go with what's popular. Well, let's just wait a minute. You're talking about a translation. We don't have the originals. We have translations taken from ancient manuscripts of the originals. A translating committee sat down and decided the best way to convey the manuscript in your language. So there's the problem. Right there. You are buying a translating committee's take on the Holy Scriptures. Translating committees can be either quite liberal or conservative. If you want a good translation that doesn't compromise accuracy for the sake of what these people call readability or political or cultural correctness, then do yourself a favor, my friend, and get an accurate translation, such as the New American Standard Bible or the New King James Version. Now, there's others out there that are quite accurate. You can search them out on your own. They're called literal translations, but these two are very good translations. Okay, we're back. This time I want to look at another issue that will cause people to reject Christ at his coming. What is it? The issue of prosperity. Worldwide prosperity. Say it with me. Prosperity. Money, peace, and security. This issue is so overlooked, but it's right at the center of what Scripture highlights as a danger preceding Christ's return. Hey, I get it. In most places of our modern world, peace and security, and especially prosperity, is like an "are you kidding" moment. But listen, are we in this to follow the ways of man, what makes sense to man, or what the Word of God actually says? Where does the authority of our faith lie? The thinking of man or the thinking of God? God is the one who calls the shots down here, not us. Do we interpret Scripture through the lens of what makes sense to us or what it says? Please, please hear me on this. The authority of so many Christians' faith is in their reasoning, their experiences, what someone else told them, traditions, denominations, and not the Word of God. Hello, people. Check yourself on this. We bow the knee to the authority of Scripture and nothing else. Period. Outside of the authority of Scripture, we have nothing else to base our faith on, but personal opinion, either our own or someone else's, and I will not base my eternal destiny on someone else's opinion, and I pray to God you won't either. So that said, the world is about to experience an amazing flip. Let me read you a few scriptures, and these will be taken out of the New King James Version. This is Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpected. Now, when it's talking about that day, if you look at the context, he's talking about the return of Christ for the church. Anyway, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, please note out there, dear listeners, this verse is among the signs Jesus gives that will precede his return, as I was saying. He's talking about a time of overindulgence, prosperity, and a false sense of security. Let me add a few more scriptures to make this even more clear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, now listen to this, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Did you get that? When they shall say what? Peace and security. Paul ties this in with the day of the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. They are going to be so caught up in the whole peace and security environment of the time, they won't know the danger they're in. Yeah, John.
So you're saying that they will be so caught up in the peace and security of the time that it will compromise their readiness?
Absolutely, absolutely. It will compromise their readiness. This is at the very root of why Christ's coming will be like a thief in the night that he talks about. The times will be so peaceful, so prosperous, and people will be so caught up in it, they will not expect what is about to happen, and it will take them off guard. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, speaking about the times of Noah. He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not understand, until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." And there you have it. This mess that is building up today, something's going to change it, and we will enter this time of peace and prosperity and security that will shake people's readiness. Be ready for this, people. Be ready for it. You don't want to be sucked in by it and caught off guard. Now, I'm not saying that it can't be enjoyed to a certain degree, but recognize what is going on. I repeat, recognize what is going on, that is the very hour Christ will be coming back. Please remember, folks, the scripture I read earlier in Luke 21:34, where Jesus said, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with all this stuff we're talking about, and that day, what? Come upon you unaware." Remember what happened in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah was trying to get them to realize that an invasion was coming via Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they wouldn't listen. Instead, they believed their lying prophets who were telling them what? That they were going to have peace and security. Just listen to these two scriptures out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6:14. "They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15. "We hope for peace, but no good has come, for a time of healing, but there was only terror." And that is exactly the same delusion so much of the church will embrace. People are going to get all wrapped up in a peace message, and they won't understand the time they live in. Why? Because the day in which the Lord will be coming will not be obvious. It will be in a time of peace and security. I want to give you a few more scriptures here. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You check your translations on that, guys out there, because it does mean vomit. Anyway, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a time of peace and prosperity coming, all right, and this church period bought into it. Hook, line, sinker, pole, boots, and the Creole thrown in. And what did Jesus say to them because of it? You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. No, he didn't say, good for you being so blessed and prosperous. No, they were lulled to sleep by the pleasantness of the times, probably supposing that gain was godliness, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:5. Now, let's add a little more perspective to this that reaches out and brings more things into view. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, which says, now this is talking about the man who's going to become the Antichrist. I'm just giving you that filler there. You'll have to check that out on your own. But it says this, and in his place shall arise a vile person to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Okay, now follow me closely on this, people. I don't want to lose you here. We're going to reach out and introduce a few more things into this peace and security time that is coming. No, you're probably not going to you're probably not going to hear this from your local pulpits. If you do, fantastic. But you're probably not going to. But you're going to hear it here at the Luther Canon Institute. God has meant for these things to be understood because they can be understood. And what I'm moving into now is a segue into a fuller understanding of this peace and security prophetic scenario we've been discussing. You see, there's a lot more to this time than just one situation. It's kind of a final moment. This peace and security time is sort of a kairos moment biblically. Kairos meaning an appointed time in the Greek New Testament. It presents an environment for certain things to come to pass that are not only prophetically necessary as stepping stones to the Lord's return, but are fraught with jeopardy for those who don't know what's going on. Oh, yes, I am totally serious about this, so please stay with me out there as we look a little deeper. There's a bit of discrepancy over how to translate this verse in Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, specifically the part that says, but he shall come in peaceably. The New American Standard says it this way. Yeah, Connor, what's that?
It would be nice if we could do some video on some of these scriptures.
Absolutely, but we can't at this time. Anyway, the NAS, or the New American Standard, reads this way in Daniel 11:21, quote, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Did you get that? He will come in a time of tranquility, not just come in peaceably. Let's add a few more scriptures to this. The Amplified Bible says, but he will come without warning, in a time of tranquility. The English Revised Version, but he shall come in a time of security. And yes, the very popular New International Version says it this way, he will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure. Well, you got it, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, I do mean ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. These scriptures are talking about the entrance of the man who will become the Antichrist. Did you hear me on that? He will show up on the earth seen in this time of tranquility, this time of peace, how do I know this is talking about the man who will become the Antichrist? Well, contact me via our website, LutherCanon.com, and I will personally give you some more details. Anyway, there's quite a change coming to planet Earth, from the mess that is building today to a time of peace and prosperity. But look for it, people. Look for it. Don't marry your faith to it, or you will miss the Lord's return. Well, there's a whole lot more we could talk about on this, especially how it plays into Israel's situation. But that's it for today. So for me, Luther Cannon, and the rest of us here at the Luther Cannon Institute, may God's rich blessings through Jesus Christ be yours. See you next time.